All right, we'll say good morning. Let's begin. Beautiful daf of Gimel ahead of us today. Today's daf is Mem Gimel. We are starting on Mem Beis and with Beis 42b, the last line. So remember, now we're going to go through a little bit of the Braisa of Shmuel. Umi'idin zelozeh. So we'll say, remember again, mi'idin zelozeh, speaking about shutfim, that remember again, partners have the ability to testify on each other's behalf. So says the Gemara, but why is that so? Amai, nogin be'idus onhein. Why would they be permitted to go ahead and testify on one another's behalf? Are they not nogea be'idus? Right, to both say the halacha is, which is a logic, which is not only true by a Jewish legal system, but the truth is enough to discredit the witness in most legal systems, which is, you are only believed to be a witness if you are impartial. But if at the end of the day you have some vested interest, bless you, in the testimony that you are giving, then by definition your testimony is discounted and will not count. So says the Gemara, why could Shutfin, why are partners believed to testify on each other's behalf? I will say, when we say testify on each other's behalf, what we're talking about over here is, if I'm partners with Reuven, I could testify about Reuven's ownership interest in the partnership property. Reuven could testify about my partnership interest in the partnership property. But why? Is that not a conflict of interest? Are they not nogea be'idos? Take a look at the Rashbam for just a moment. Nogin be'idos onhein. Techozman shlo chilku legamrei. Because it will say, as long as the partners have not yet divided up the partnership property, em yitol shuma are klumin asoda, yafsidu shneihem, v'nimsa de la'atzmo meyit. It will say, if the partners have not dissolved their partnership and they're still joined in their partnership property, if it turns out that a creditor or someone else comes along and takes some of the property, ultimately what? Both of them lose. Ultimately, both of them stand to lose as a result. So it says the Gemara Hacham asking, and what's the case here? The kasav lei din udvarim einli asadezu. To which the Gemara answers, what's the case? So I'll say the case over here is where again the partner who's giving the testimony says, din udvarim einli asadezu. I have absolutely no partnership interest within this field. I am withdrawing my interest. So the assumption is that once he goes ahead and withdraws his interest, therefore what? Therefore he is believed to go ahead and give testimony on behalf of his fellow partner. To which the Gemara says, v'chi kasav lo my havi. But I don't understand. Even if he writes, I have no interest, no partnership interest in this sada. What does this do? V'hatanya, but we learned, Homer the chavero dinu dvarim in the zu. The person writes to his friend, I have no dealings with this field. Ve'inli esikbo, and I have no involvement with it. Ve'yadai misulake es himena, my hands are removed from it. Lo amar klum, he has said nothing. I will say, in other words, that if you are a partner in property, and you use these types of lashonos, I have nothing to do with this, I'm not involved in it, my hands are removed from it, this, Rabosai, is not a proper terminology for removing oneself from a partnership interest. Why not? Take a look at the Rashbam. V'yadai misulek yes lo amar klum, techevan tekvar yesh lo chelik besada, v'omer lo yehe li chelik bo. Because it will say, since he already has a partnership interest, and now he's just simply saying, I no longer have a partnership interest, ein ze lashon matana lechadero, ela lashon tfilei. This is very interesting. So the Rashbam points out to here the following idea, that to convey, if I'm a partner in property, and I want to convey my partnership interest to someone else, there are ways to do that. I could gift that to the individual, I could sell that to the individual, but by simply going ahead and what? By simply going and saying, I'm no longer involved in it, that is not a proper conveyance. So if it's not a proper conveyance, then what is it? So the Rashbam is, if I could dare say, cute. Right? The Rashbam says, you know what it is? He says, it's a tefillah. Ela lashon tefillah. What does it mean, lashon tefillah? He says, hu halavai shelo yehali chelik besadazu. What it means is, halavai shouldn't be involved in this field anymore, right? Because we've all had moments like that when we're involved in something, we say to ourselves, you know what? Halavai just should not have this on my head anymore. So therefore, this type of lashon, right? This type of lashon ultimately is not a proper conveyance. It's not a conveyance of any kind of ownership interest. It's just simply almost like a supplicatory statement. I wish I was not involved in this anymore, but does not affect any kind of halachic reality. If that's the case of both sides, then this type of statement would not allow you to go ahead and what? Would not allow you to testify on behalf of a partner, because you would still be vested and involved in the property. To which the Gemara says, what's the case? Also says the Gemara, no. This case is a bit different, because in this case, there was a kinyan between the partners. In other words, if you look at the Rashbam, right before it gets short, I will say, what's the case over here? The case over here is I'm in a partnership interest with Reuven. And then what occurs? I want out of the partnership interest. I want to testify on his behalf. I'm removing myself from the partnership interest. And what I do is I say, yes, dinu dvaram in li asad azu, but then I do a kinyan sudar with Reuven. What does that kinyan sudar do? Through that kinyan sudar, I am conveying my ownership interest to Reuven. So we'll say, so now suddenly again, this is not just a statement removing me from my ownership interest. Rather what? This is a statement plus a kinyan that is going ahead and conveying my ownership over to interest to Reuven. Now both say, now once I have legally conveyed my ownership interest to Reuven, then what? Then I have the ability to testify on his behalf about his ownership of the land, because I am no longer a nogea bedavar. To which the Gemara says, "V'chi kanu miyado my havi." But even if there was a kinyan, what does it matter? Hare ma'amida b'fnei balchovo. See, Rabbi said, even if for argument's sake I go ahead and I do kinyan, right? I go and I convey my ownership interest to Reuven, not just through words but through a kinyan. I still have a vested interest in testifying on his behalf. What's my vested interest? But I take a look at the Rashbam, second to last short line. The economy of my havi, akati, am I made lahamid asada biado hare nogea zubeidosu tenechale sheyiya hasada biado shutof b'pnei shema'amida haynosim b'pnei balchovo shemyesh lo shem balchov shelvo mos kodem shikna lechaveru chalko shaylo b'sada yavo balchov v'yitshof osa sharechetzia mishubed eslo v'yiftar zanosim balchovo. Let's listen to this. Even if you want to set up the case in the following way, I'm a partner with Reuven. I come over to Reuven and say, Reuven, dinu dvar in li asad azu. I have nothing to do with my partnership interest anymore, and I'm conveying my partnership interest over to you with a kinyan sudar. Good, shalom Yisrael. Now what happens? I show up in Beis Din because Reuven's rights to the land is being contested. I show up in Beis Din. I testify on Reuven's behalf. Says the Gemara, why should I be believed? Because I'm still no gei b'davar. How am I a gei b'davar? Because you also understand, it's in my best interest to solidify Reuven's claim to the land. Why? Because if Reuven and I happen to have had a creditor while we were still partners, that creditor had a lien against the partnership property. There's no longer partnership property. All of it is owned by Reuven. But however, the lien pre-exists my cessation from the partnership, or my leaving the partnership. If that land is not Reuven's, then what? You know, in halacha, partners have personal liability as well. There's no real, unless otherwise stipulated, you know, there's no corporate veil in halachic partnerships, right? You are personally liable for what you do in your partnerships. So lemaisa, again, I have a vested interest in testifying to solidify Reuven's ownership, because this way, any creditors we had during the partnership will collect their debts from where? From that property that was owned jointly, that is now fully owned by Reuven. So I'll say, bottom line, is the thing I'm suggesting is amazing, really exciting. What's amazing about this is that even if I remove myself from the partnership, it turns out that what? I'm still a nogea b'davar. At the end of the day, I still have a conflict of interest in giving this testimony, because it is in my best interest that the ownership of this property be solidified in the hands of Reuven, because this way, again, any of our creditors do not have the right to come after me personally, even once I've left the partnership. Amazing. Do Amar Rabin, Amar Shmuel, Mishmei de Shmuel, Hamocher Sad Lechaver Shol Bachrayis. Now, let's listen to this. If I sell Reuven a field, different case. I sell Reuven a field with Arach Rais. Now, let's say Arach Rais means that no guarantees, that in the event that the field is seized by my creditors, Reuven has no right to come back after me. Ein Meid Lo Allah. So let's listen to this. If I go ahead and I sell Reuven a field without achrayis, Reuven. So meaning this will say this is what we'd call an as-is sale. You have no recourse against me if my creditors come and seize the property. You have no way coming. As is. So we'll say, so I, the seller, am not permitted to testify on behalf of the purchaser that the land is really his. Why, Rabosai? Because at the end of the day, I, the seller, have a vested interest in solidifying the sale with Reuven. Why? Because, Rabosai, if I had borrowed money prior to the sale and there's a lien against that sold property, in the event that I don't have any properties, then what? Then what? Then my creditor has the right to seize against Reuven. So, Rabosai, so therefore, I, the seller, have a vested interest in keeping the encumbered properties in the hands of the present purchaser. To which the Gemara says, Hacham askin, on what's the case? The kabil ale achrayis. Oh, I will say, the case over here in the partnership agreement is that when I pull out and I sell my partnership interest to Reuven, what I'm doing is I'm selling it to him with achrayis. With achrayis, so therefore I will say I'm not really in a geba davar, because what? Even if it turns out that Reuven's property is seized in satisfaction of some of the debts that we incurred while we were partners, Reuven's going to come back after me for 50% of that because I'm 50% liable. So therefore, again, I will say I'm not really in a geba. I'm not saving myself anything by testifying on behalf of Reuven. To which the Gemara says, but 1 second, achrayis is a demand. When we say that I'm selling the land to Reuven with achrayis, what kind of achrayis? If you want to say it's general achrayis, so I'll say if it's general achrayis, meaning again, I say to Reuven, if anything happens to this property, I will reimburse you. Then I'll say even more so, I'm an ogea be'edus, because again, I have a vested interest in keeping this property with Reuven. El achrayis ta'asile machmasei. Rather, no, the achrayis, I will say, is the following. I will call it a limited achrayis. Namely, that I say to Reuven, I'm selling you this field with achrayis, that should someone come and take this field as a result of something that I did, I agree to make you whole. I says, the gemar v'chimisalik nafshei, v'chimisalik nafshei minei, mi mistalik. But even so, see, Rabbi Osai, this whole case presupposes. Remember, let's take one step back. All of this is going back to a statement of Shmuel that we saw in yesterday's daf, namely that one partner could testify on behalf of another partner. We are trying to figure out how exactly that is able to happen, given the fact that don't partners by definition have a conflict of interest in testifying on each other's behalf. So we're trying to structure a case where one partner could essentially withdraw himself from the interests of the partnerships so that he no longer has any kind of negios. He no longer has any conflict of interest, and his testimony on behalf of his fellow partner will be received or will be accepted. To which the Gemara says, V'chi misalik nafshei minei mi misalik. We'll say, is it possible for a partner to really withdraw from all of his interests? After all, the Gemara says, V'hatanya, we learn. We'll say, listen to this interesting case. B'nei ir, shenignav sefer Torah shalahem. So say the following situation. You have a city, and the city's sefer Torah was stolen. So the sefer Torah of the city was stolen. What's that halacha? Ein donin b'dayone osayir. The case may not be adjudicated by the judges of that city. Ve'im v'in raya me'anshe osayir. And at the end of the day, members of that city cannot serve as witnesses. Why, Rabosai? Because at the end of the day, what? At the end of the day, they're a geba davar, right? They are involved in this case. The dayanim of the city are involved in the case. The people of the city, they can't serve as edim. V'im isa, v'salku beitre minayu, v'ledainu. So I'll say, I don't understand. But if you're telling me that partners have the ability to withdraw from their partnership interests and thereby become non-affiliated or non-involved parties to a particular situation, let two members of the city withdraw their ownership interests from the Sefer Torah and let them go ahead and what? Let them go ahead and testify. And as we'll say, the assumption is that the reason why all the judges of the city are invalid and all of the members of the city can't serve as witnesses is because, good morning, Mr. Schoenfeld, is because they all go ahead and have a partnership interest or an ownership interest in the Sefer Torah. So if you're telling me now that what? That partners could go ahead and withdraw from their ownership interests, just let two people from the city essentially give up their rights in the city Sefer Torah and go ahead and serve as witnesses or serve as dayanim, to which the Gemara says, no, shiny Sefer Torah to the Shmiya Koi. We'll say Sefer Torah is different. Why? It's actually quite beautiful. Sefer Torah is different because it is l'shmiya koy. In other words, we both say, everyone hears the laning. Everyone hears the Kriyas HaTorah. If you look at the Rashbam probably is about 12 lines up from the end of the page. He says, l'shmiya koy, v'nyochol l'salik atzmo, shelo yehei nogea be'edos. It is because the Sefer Torah ultimately, again, is for reading and listening purposes. It is virtually impossible for a person to withdraw himself from that Sefer Torah. Shahri nas nabo, v'yotzei v'ner nabo, v'yotzei b'shmiyaso, ela imken yelech lo lador b'iracher shlo yana b'kriyaso. So this is a very beautiful answer. Everyone gets benefit from the Sefer Torah. And it's impossible to withdraw yourself from that benefit, says the Rashbam, unless you plan on moving. So because it is impossible ultimately to withdraw yourself from the benefit of the Sefer Torah, therefore what? Therefore, Lemaisa, you cannot go ahead and remove yourself from that interest, and therefore you cannot go ahead and give testimony on behalf of that case. To which the Gemara says, Tashma, Ha'omer Tnu Mane Libne Iri, in Dunham, but then you're supposed to listen to this. A man says, and I will say, this is a deathbed conveyance that Rashbam brings down. A man says on his deathbed, go ahead and give a mona to my city. And the Rashbam points out to her, L'bnei Iri, L'tzarche b'nei ha'ir, L'chom asir, L'chol tzarche rabim. Man is donating money to the community, right, for the benefit of the community. So man, before he dies on his deathbed, goes ahead and says to his children, go ahead and give this money to the city. Now, after his death, as often happens, what do the children do? So the children begin to fight amongst themselves, and one of the things that they fight about is this conveyance. And they object to this conveyance of their father's money to the city. So what happens? There's now a legal dispute, Rabosa, between the heirs and between the city, because the members of the city feel entitled to this money. The heirs are, for whatever reason, contesting the gift. Whatever the metzias, the reasons of their contesting it doesn't matter right now. So says the Gemara. So what's that law? So in Dona Bedena Yoseir. So we'll say, remember, the judges of that city, meaning the entitled city, cannot adjudicate the case because they're no Geba Dover, right? Because we'll say, again, they have a conflict of interest. And also, you know, we'll say, remember, the residents of that city can't serve as witnesses. Why? Same idea, conflict of interest. Am I? So it says, well, why do they have a conflict of interest? Lusalku Beitrein Afshayu. Why don't we say over here that what? Why don't we go ahead and have two members of the city withdraw themselves from gaining any interest from this potential contribution? I was saying, what does this mean? Take a look at the Rashbam, about 8 lines up. So let's listen to this. What happens if you have two people say the following? We will not get any benefit from this donation. We'll say, how do they avoid getting any benefit from donation? Very simple. They say, listen, this guy who died was going to donate X amount of dollars for the benefit of the city. Do we divide up that benefit amongst the residents of the city? It equals X amounts for each of us. We will donate that amount ourselves. So we are not getting any benefit from his donation. If they're not getting any benefit from his donation, they watch on both sides. Then they have no negios. There's no conflict of interest. And let them go ahead and testify. To which the Gemara says, "Hachanami b'sefer Torah." Oh, we'll say, what's the case over here? The case over here is where the man went ahead and donated money. We'll say, what was that money for? That money was to purchase the sefer Torah. So we come full circle now, which is quite beautiful. That of all the things that the members of the city cannot remove their ownership interest on, it's what? It's a sefer Torah. Because we'll say, even financially, if you want to remove your ownership interest, the ma'aseh, you are still going to benefit from that sefer Torah each and every time, according to Rashbam, unless, of course, you move to another city. Tashma, Homer, Tunu Manala Aniye Iri. A man says, give money to the poor of my city. And they both say, same idea. Now the gift is being contested. So what happens? Ain Donin Bidene Osair, Vain Mevien, Raya Me Anche Osair. So both say, the Gemara seems to say the same thing over here. So remember, now we have a legal dispute. Both say, it could be the same case. A man, before he died, said, give money to the poor people of my city. The man dies, the heirs contest the gift. So what happens? You cannot adjudicate this case with the judges of the intended recipient city, and you cannot bring witnesses from the intended recipient city. Why? Assumption being, they're no Geya B'Davar. Conflict of interest. Says Gemara B'Wai V'Tizvira, Aniyim Shakli Dayanim Ifsali. I don't understand. Why is there a conflict of interest? In the previous case, understand why there's a conflict of interest. Why? Because the money was given to the city, right? And everybody benefits from that. In this case over here, the money's being directed to the aniyim. So why are judges, why would the judges of the city be disqualified if what? If money's going to the aniyim, in the pure halacha, dayanim, we see this again in Parashas Yisro, so dayanim ultimately are supposed to be wealthy, right? The idea of making wealthy judges is that they are not susceptible to bribing, right? But even if they're not wealthy, they're not going to be on the aniyim. So I don't understand, because somebody's giving money to the tzedakah fund, at the end of the day, that passes everyone else in the city from adjudicating this case, that's by the aniyim. That's not ultimately going to the dayanim, to which the Gemara says, Tizbira, aniyim shakli dayanim mafsli, ela ima, ain donin bidayone aniye osayir, vein mevien raya me aniye osayir. Oh, we'll say what it means is, in this case, the poor of the city cannot give testimony. Right? Meaning, if you have judges who are aniyim, or you have potential witnesses who step forward who are aniyim, they have the conflict of interest, and they may not go ahead and testify in this particular case. I don't understand, what is the big deal here? The stalku beitrein avshayhu, v'ledainu. Right? So we'll say, so why don't we just say something over here? Just let two people remove themselves from the benefit of the state. So we'll say, for example, let's say if we're talking about aniyim, let two aniyim, or let two judges, or let two witnesses simply remove themselves from the benefit that this gift will give the city, that removes their conflict of interest, and let them testify, let them adjudicate this case, to which the Gemara says, the Hachal Nami, the Sefer Torah. Let's listen to this. The Gemara says, so when he makes, so what we're talking about over here says, the Gemara is that when the man made the contribution to the Aniye Ha'ir, what was he really making a contribution of? A Sefer Torah, says the Gemara. Listen to how beautiful this is, very profound. Mm-hmm. So I don't understand. So why would you call a donation of a Sefer Torah a donation to the poor? Because Rabbi say everybody when it comes to a Sefer Torah is an ani. Everyone when it comes to a Sefer Torah is an ani. Now, Bosei, what does that mean? Everyone when it comes to a Sefer Torah is an ani, is a pauper. Bosei, take a look, 6 lines up from the bottom of the page in the Rashbam. Takol itzel Sefer Torah niyem heim, shekulam tzrichim lo. See, Bosei, you know there's a halacha that says that everyone, right, va'ata kislu l'chemes ashira hazos, last, according to most, last mitzvah in the Torah is the mitzvah to write a Sefer Torah. Everybody's supposed to have a sefer. Shekulan tzrichalo, v'derech b'nei adam likro im b'nei iro, aniyim kishein lahem sefer Torah, da'aniyus godol huzeh. So most I say, the idea is everybody's supposed to have a sefer Torah. Most people don't have a sefer Torah. We fulfill this mitzvah in a variety of different ways. So the ma'is, again, most people are considered to be aniyim vis-a-vis a sefer Torah. So therefore, again, what the Gemara is suggesting over here, that when the man donated his money ultimately for the aniyah ha'ir, what he was donating money for was a sefer Torah. And therefore, most of it, because sefer Torah, we keep coming back to it, we're coming back up against this entire time, which is that the one thing that you cannot remove your ownership interest in from a city is what? Is a sefer Torah. Why not? Because even if technically speaking you make some type of financial judgment to remove yourself financially, kevan de lishmiya koi, you're going to get benefit from it each and every Monday, Thursday, Shabbos morning, Shabbos afternoon, multiple times each week. Therefore, by definition, you have an ownership interest in it. So because of that, you're in a geba davar. And because you're in a geba davar, you can't give testimony. But so you understand on a deeper level, the Gemara is also saying something quite beautiful. That call itzel sefer Torah aniyim heim. For say, you know, when it comes to Torah, the truth is we're all aniyim. What does that mean? That, you know, sometimes, on one hand, the most frustrating dynamic when it comes to Torah is no matter how much we learn, we recognize how impoverished we are. There's so much more to learn. There's so much more to do. There's so much more to accomplish. There is no such thing as a person who is an usher b'Torah. I mean, I take that back. There are some yechidei skula. There are some people who are mamish rich in Torah. Most of us are aniyim. Baruch Hashem, you know, I might have a couple of dollars in my pocket, right? And I might even be able to get through the day today, but I have not amassed nearly enough for what I need for myself, for what I need for my family. And I feel the hunger pains, right? I feel the growling of my soul, right? I feel the hunger pains of my soul. I need more. I want more. I desire more. Da'akol Eitzel Torah. Da'akol Eitzel Torah. We'll say, just like the Ani feels those pangs, and those pangs are what push him ultimately again to do more, to work harder, to accomplish more, to make more, because he wants to satisfy the hunger pains. We'll say, we should be zochem, Mirtz Hashem, to feel the anius of Torah. We should be zochem, Mirtz Hashem, to feel those hunger pains as well, and to want to satisfy that growing growling of the soul. The Gemara goes, the other possibility is, the olam kidiktani aniyeh mamish. No, maybe aniyeh means aniyeh mamish. Uba aniyeh diramu alayhu. Supposed to listen to this. We're talking about where the responsibility to support the aniyim is something that rests upon all the members of the city. V'heichi dami, what's the case? Supposed to listen to this. So the Gemara is suggesting over here, no, maybe the gift is really for the aniyah here. Aye, but how does everyone other than the aniyim benefit from that? Very simple, Rabosai. Because imagine for a moment, in organized community, you had a tzedakah tax. The tzedakah tax was that everybody has to contribute something in order to support the poor. Now, the good news is what? The good news is, if Reuven dies, that's not good news. I'm saying, if Chas Shalom Reuven dies, but the good news is, you know, there's an interesting halacha. The halacha is, if you lose a loved one, but you get a big Yerusha, you make two brachas. You make a bracha of Dayana Emes, and then a bracha of Hatova Hametiv. Right? You make a bracha of Dayana Emes on the death, but Hatova Hametiv on the Yerusha. There's a recognition that sometimes, again, you know, there's that two-pronged dynamic. So Reuven dies, Dayana Emes, but Hatova Hametiv, he leaves money for tzedakah. So we'll say, now, if you're telling me that it's a case where it's actual money to Aniyim, and in this particular city, the obligation to support the poor is upon all of the residents of the city, then what? Then what? Then I, a regular non-Ani resident, have benefited from this gift as well. How? How? Because potentially now he's lowered my tax. Right now I have to pay less because of his gift. To which we must, well, let's analyze. Vechi dami. Idikitzlu. So let's say, if you want to say that every member of the city has a defined amount of money that you have to go ahead and define, and you have to give to tzedakah to support the poor of your city every single year. And now with this other gift, I'm benefiting because my tax is lessened. So very simple. Leisu beitrei minayu. So my dikitz lehu. For the dainu, the Nebo say, let two people from the city go ahead and pay off their own debt. So therefore, they're not benefiting from this gift. And then what? They could testify about the gift, to which the Gemara says, what's the case? The case over here is where there's no defined amount. So because there's no defined tax upon the residents, so they can't, so to speak, buy out of their obligation, and therefore they are benefiting from the gift this man made. And because they're benefiting, at the end of the day, they're negeh be'edus, and they can't give testimony. The other possibility is that no, there is a defined amount that is levied upon each member of the city. It's actually quite beautiful. You know, when there is a tzedakah tax in the city, and someone makes a larger contribution, so the way that Klal Yisrael work, we are a nation of Rahman ben Rahmanim. No one says, oh, someone else just gave a big gift to tzedakah, I'll give less. No one says that. Instead, what do they say? Baruch Hashem, tzedakah has more. As the Bosai say, even if somebody gives a big donation, and at the end of the day, now the aniyim are provided for, no one says, oh, I don't have to give my tzedakah tax this year. They give their tzedakah tax anyway, and the residents of the city are just happy that the kupa, the tzedakah fund, has a bit more money. I will say, of course, the underlying piece of this is knowing that there's no such thing as a tzedakah fund that has surplus funds, right? There's no such thing as having too much tzedakah. At the end of the day, we know deep down that some way, somehow, these monies will ultimately be used. Fine. So I'll say, so again, bottom line, to make a very long and complicated story more complicated and longer, right? At the end of the day, the Gemara is just telling us, yes, is there a metzias in which one partner could testify on behalf of another partner? Absolutely. But what it ultimately requires is a removal of all interest from the testimony. And what the Gemara, because they also say you cannot give testimony in any situation where ultimately, again, you have a vested interest in the success of that testimony, which is just logical. How you remove your interest in the testimony, again, those are all the different cases we've seen. Weiter. Benas in Shomru Sachar Zelazah. So we'll say the next day's part of Shmuel's statement was that one Shomer could go, that one partner becomes a Shomer Sachar for the other partner. I will say that each partner, remember, is guarding different parts of the partnership assets, and could become a Shomer Sachar, one for the other. I will say Amud Beis. Amai. But why is that? Shmira Bebailami. We'll say, is this not a case of Shmira Bebailami? Now, what does this mean? Take a look at the top Rashbam. Shmira Bebailami. Shekol Echad Mishamer Ktas Min HaShutfus HaBeisa. We'll say, see, the assumption is that each partner, if I'm a partner with Reuven, right, we own a field together. So Bepashtos, he's watching some of the partnership, not just property, but partnership stuff. Right, partnership, you know, machinery, or part of the partnership things. So Reuven's watching some of the stuff. I'm also watching some of the stuff. The Kaimelam Bab Matsia Bashoel, Shmira Babailim Pater. So we'll say, listen to this. Va'afa Gab the Bashoel Ksia Pater, the Babailim, who Yalav Shomer Sachar, Hasamine. So we'll say, listen to this. There's a Pater we know of Ba'alavimo. Ba'alavimo, if the owner's present, is a din that is explicitly stated by Shoel, but in truth, it applies to every type of Shomer. So we'll say what the Gemara is suggesting over here is the following. Why should Reuven and I be a Shomer Sachar on one another? We really should both be Pater and the Shmira. Why? Because since we're both simultaneously watching partnership interest property, so therefore what? It's like when I'm watching it, Reuven is with me, and when Reuven is watching it, I'm with him. If that's the case, that's Balavimo. And I both say, whenever the owner is present, the Shomer is Pater on whatever may happen to partnership property, to which the Gemara says, Amar Papa, the Amar Lei, Shmar Li Hayom, Vani Eshmar L'Chala Machar. Oh, I both say, because that's the case. The case is where we are not simultaneously watching a partnership property together. Rather, what? We stipulate. I say, Reuven, I'll watch the partnership property today. You'll watch the partnership property tomorrow. Both say, so because there is no simultaneity, therefore what? Therefore, we are each a Shomer Sachar on the partnership property. Good. Tan Rabbanan. Machalo Bayis. Dafyomi. You're not supposed to understand. Machalo Bayis. Machalo Bayis. Machalo Sada. So I say, listen to this. The Gemara goes weiter. Right? I sold Reuven a home. I sold Reuven a field. So we'll say, now watch this. Watch this. Ein mei lo aleha, mipnei sha'achra yuso alav. So we'll say, now watch this. I sell Reuven a house, I sell Reuven a field. So what's the halacha? The halacha is, I am not permitted to go ahead and give testimony. So we'll say, I am the seller. Now something happens that causes some level of objection to Reuven's ownership. So what happens? We'll say, I, the seller, am not permitted to testify on Reuven's behalf. Why? Because also on a very logical level, the assumption over here is, let's say this. We actually spoke about this extensively, about a general idea as to whether or not when you sell property, does a sale of property always come with achrayis or not? So right now, let's assume for just a moment that when I sell Reuven that home, I sell him the field, that I'm selling it to him with achrayis. So because of that, I'm responsible if it gets seized from him. So obviously, if somebody's contesting his ownership, I'm going to be the first one to show up in Beis Din and testify on his behalf. Why? Because if for some reason that land is seized from him, then what? I'm on the hook. So we'll say, because of that, I'm not believed, because I'm an ogeh b'davar. However, machalo para machalo talis. What was I? If I sold them a cow or I sold them a talis, meyed lo aleha mipnei she'ein achre yuso alav. So what was I? But if at the end of the day I sold them a talis, I sold them a cow, or I sold them a talis, I am permitted to testify on his behalf. Why? Because I have no achrayis. I have no responsibility to make him whole. Should something happen to the object, says the Gemara, I don't understand. Maishna Reisha, Maishna Seifa. So we'll say, ask the Gemara, what's the distinction between the Reisha and between the Seifa? What is the distinction ultimately, again, between these two parts of the Braisa? Omer Rav Sheshas, Reisha Beruvein. So we'll say, listen to this. Says the Gemara, I'm going to explain to you the distinction. It's actually quite a fascinating case. Reisha Beruvein Shegazal Sada Mishimon. We'll say, okay, now follow this just in a moment. Reuven stole a field from Shimon, umachra lelevi. Okay, and Reuven steals from Shimon, sells the field to Levi. Va'asi Yehuda, v'kama arer. So we'll say what happens. Yehuda comes along and says, Levi, I am the rightful owner of that field. Right, that field is not yours. So we'll say, so what is the Gemara teaching me? Delo lezel Shimon la'asid lelevi. We'll say Shimon cannot. Now remember who's Shimon. Shimon is the one, ultimately, again, is the original owner, right? Shimon is the victim. It was his original field that was stolen from him by Reuven. Reuven stole from Shimon. The Gemara is teaching me, that Shimon cannot go ahead and testify on Levi's behalf. Because ultimately, again, why Rabbi was saying, because at the end of the Asa the Levi, who Hechi Matzi Mafik Lemine. So let's listen to this. Let me go back for 1 second. So the Gemara is suggesting over here, here's the case. Reuven stole the fields from Shimon. Shimon sold it to Levi. Yehuda's coming along and contesting Levi's ownership. The Gemara now is suggesting that Shimon, the original owner, cannot come and testify on behalf of Levi. Now we'll say, now why we're going to see why should be testifying on behalf of Levi? So the lezo Shimon lasid le Levi, the nechale dehadra. So actually, it's changed. So the Bach changes it. The nechale ditehadrale. Because ultimately, again, Rabbi say, remember, Shimon's vested interest in all of this is what? What does Shimon want out of this whole thing? Shimon wants his land back. Because remember, the property was stolen from him. Because ultimately, again, Rabbi say, so remember, understand. So now what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that Shimon can't go ahead, Shimon, the original owner, can't come and testify on behalf of Levi, because ultimately, again, we assume it's he's an Ogea Bedavar, because why is he an Ogea Bedavar? Because it's his original land that was stolen from him, and he just wants it back. Therefore, his testimony will not be believed. Says, I understand what's happening over here. If Shimon, the original owner, is coming to testify on behalf of Levi, now we assume, what does it mean to testify on behalf of Levi? That the property belongs to Levi. If Shimon, the original owner, is coming to testify that it belongs to Levi, and now the Gemara is saying, Shimon, you can't testify because we know your intention is what? Is what? Yeah. Is to get it back for yourself, but I don't understand. If Shimon is testifying on behalf of Levi, that means that Shimon is testifying to Levi's ownership, then how is Shimon ever going to get it back? To which the Gemara says, "V'cheven da'asid le'le Levi." If Shimon is coming to testify on behalf of Levi, "Hechi matzi mafik le'mine," then how does Shimon ever intend to get that property back for himself? But say, watch this. "Da'amar yedana da'hayara de'lav di'yehudihi." But say, this is an interesting statement. The interesting statement is that when Shimon shows up, so we'll say so one more time. Reuven steals from Shimon, sells to Levi. Yehuda comes along and says, Levi, that's not your property, it's mine. Shimon, the original owner, victim, is showing up in Beis Din and testifying on, the Gemara says, on behalf of Levi. They both say, now what's Shimon's machshava in this whole thing? Shimon wants one thing, and that's what? His land back, right? Says the Gemara, I don't understand, but if he's coming to testify on behalf of Levi, how is he ever going to get his land back? Oh, because they both say, know what his testimony is? His testimony is, I hereby testify that this land does not belong to Yehuda. So both say, what he's trying to do, what Shimon's trying to do, is keep this out of Yehuda's hands. Right? We'll see why. So his testimony over here, interestingly enough, is not the typical testimony. A typical testimony is a testimony that bolsters the ownership of the property in the hands of one party. Here, Shimon's testimony is, I am testifying that this land does not belong to you. The Rabbi said, however, he's proving that thing. The Rashbam discusses this a little bit in greater depth. Actually, we'll take a look at it for just a moment. Rabbi said, it's like right in the middle from where the lines get wide. What does this mean? So for example, if Yehuda is showing up in Beis Din with witnesses, Shimon goes in and proves that his witnesses are liars or thieves. Meaning, however it is, but the point over here is Yehuda is testifying that the land does not belong to Shimon. Now, obviously, what's Shimon's game plan over here? Right? What does Shimon want? He wants his land back. So what's his plan now? Step one, keep it out of Yehuda's hands. Now, we assume that's what? Step two is, get it back from Levi. Right? So he obviously has some type of testimony, something, to get it back from Levi. So I don't understand. If he has some type of testimony or plan to get it back from Levi, just let him use that same strategy to what? To get it back from Yehuda. What's the problem over here? The Amar, because Shimon says, Hasheni Noachli harishon kasha hemeno. Because they'll say, apparently, again, like in most things in life, there are different personalities. And apparently, again, Shimon says, it's easier for me to deal with Levi than it is to deal with Yehuda. Yehuda is a bit of a difficult guy, so I would rather go ahead and keep it in Levi's hands. I'll come and contend with him afterwards, but I do not want this property ultimately going to Yehuda. V'boisema, the other possibility is, kigon v'islei sahadi lamar, v'islei sahadi lamar. The other possibility is, that remember, each of them are coming along, and putting forward their competing witnesses. So essentially what you have over here is, you have Yehuda coming forward with his witnesses, you have Levi coming forward with his witnesses, and in a case like this, what do we say? And Rabbo said, whenever you have competing testimony, ultimately in, when it comes to real estate transactions, then Rabbo said, what do we say? We simply say, keep the land where it is. So in a case like this, we're going to have Shimon advancing his witnesses, Yehuda advancing his witnesses, but the only thing we could do essentially, on a very simple level, they cancel each other out, and we keep the land where it is. So we'll stop over here for today. We will, Emirat Hashem, we're not finished with this case, we'll pick up Emirat Hashem with this case tomorrow. Thank you.